everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez, and this is The Week in Review.
There will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
This was a coup of a president of the United States. He didn't want to leave, and they said, we can do it the nice way, or we can do it the hard way.
And I've spoken to the biggest crowds. Nobody's spoken to crowds bigger than me. If you look at Martin Luther King.
It's a lot of weird stuff going on this week. First of all, this is big. An arrest warrant issued on the Nord Stream pipeline, and the former president's messaging kind of goes off the rails. Those are two of the stories that have been taking place this week. I'm Rick Sanchez. Let's do this. All right, another wild week to say the very least, and we're going to be taking you through most of this stuff. We're going to do it with two of the best guests I know. First, the host of the Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik, Dr. Wilmer Leon. There he is in his youthful, handsome face. And on the other side is From Pasta to Go on YouTube, not a cooking show, by the way, Craig Pasta Giardula, who's good enough to take us through some of these conversations as well. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us this week once again. Let's start with this. Geopolitics. Big story, really. Big story. Finally, there has been an arrest warrant in the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage. I'm sure you guys have been catching up on this story. Here's the headline. The report says that Ukraine was behind the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage. It says Ukrainian military officers and a drunken had a drunken celebration on May of 2022. They orchestrated the attack using a small sailboat. German chief prosecutor has ordered the arrest of a man who is now apparently hiding out in Ukraine, interestingly enough, though he was originally living in Poland when he allegedly masterminded this attack. Now, this is an absolutely fascinating story. It seems to me, reading through most of the dicta that has been issued thus far on this warrant that has been issued, there were two, three, maybe four Ukrainians who put this all together on a sailboat that's about 30, 40 feet long. The pipeline, remember, is about 300 feet underwater. I dive. I'm certified. That doesn't make me a good diver, but I know enough to know what happens down there. You're not just an average person who decides to go diving after having a couple of drinks to do something like this. They pulled off what is obviously one of the most incredible and destructive sabotages in the history of Europe, and they did this. And the reason I'm stating it this way, and maybe I'll start with you, Pasta, is the report seems to indicate that they can't determine at this point if the Ukrainian government or the U.S. government or any other state was involved. My BS antennas are going up. What about yours?
I think your BS antennas are working properly, Rick, because they also said that it was high-ranking military personnel of Ukraine, yet Volodymyr Zelensky didn't know, even though I think believe the diver that they are accusing of doing this, his name was also Volodymyr something with a Z as well. But I really think this is just about damage control at this point, Rick. I think so many people in Germany are suffering from high energy costs. I mean, remember, Nord Stream 2 was one of the biggest carriers of natural gas, right, into Europe from Russia, and now they're paying the price. So I think the German government has kind of concocted up this story of sorts to ease the mind of the people, to let them know they're doing something about their energy cost, because this was just a random occasion and they're going to make the person who did this pay a price. I mean, this is complete fabrication. I look at this as almost equal to the inflation's only at 3% reports, conveniently now closer to an election. That's why we're getting this story, and I don't buy it whatsoever. My BS antennas are also up and pinging pretty loudly.
Yeah, it is a different story than some of the original stories we heard, which was that Russia did this itself because Russia decided one day that they were going to blow up their most important and impressive pipeline constructions they've ever done. By the way, one of the most significant parts of their economy, that they were going to just go up one day and blow it up because then they wanted to be able to say that somebody else did it, which seems weird in and of itself, Wilmer. But the fact that Germany would have somebody or have something happen that affects its populace, its citizens, it's going to make them perhaps not be able to heat their homes, And instead of looking to attack whatever government did it, they seem like they're defensive about it. That's weird. It's kind of like a battered wife syndrome, no? But governments.
Well, let's sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a faithful ship. I mean, they might as well have said Gilligan and the SS Minnow did this, because their story makes absolutely no sense. Germany's problem is Olaf Scholz was standing next to Joe Biden when Joe Biden said that the United States was not going to allow the Nord Stream 2 pipeline to be turned up. And it's also important to realize that there are, I think, three or four pipelines. One of them is still functional, and the United States will not allow Germany to turn up the functioning pipeline. You're talking about 300 feet of water. You're talking about those pipelines are encased in some ungodly amount of concrete. And you have to ask yourself, what countries have the capability to do this? The United States, Britain, possibly Russia, and possibly Germany. So your options here on who could actually pull something like this off, while the United States is, by the way, engaged in naval exercises right in the very space that all of this took place.
Oh, and ask yourself something. Wait, I got something to add to your equation. Your enthymeme is, I think, spot on, but you're only missing one element, which I think kind of seals this deal. What happened after this happened to the U.S.'s ability, or how much energy the U.S. sends into Germany vis-a-vis how much of it comes from Russia? Russia was at the time, before this happened, sending something like 50, supplying Germany with like 50 to 60%, I don't have the exact number in my head, of its natural gas. Since then, Russia's down to about 15%, and the U.S. is up to about 50 or 60%.
And where does that gas come from? Most of it comes from Texas. Thank you, Ted Cruz, because Ted Cruz had been championing this very mission. And all you have to do is read Cy Hirsch's work, and all of the questions get answered.
Yeah, we're trying to get to him, by the way. We're trying to see if we can get him on the show. If not today, we'll probably get him on sometime next week. All right, let's switch topics real quick. The U.S. sending out a naval strike group complete with a fleet of battleships, carriers, submarines. It's been sent to the area now, the area obviously off the coast of Iran. President Biden has signed off on sending anywhere between $16 to $20 billion in taxpayers' money, yours and mine, by the way, to Israel. That's on top of the $4 billion we normally sent them, even though they're one of the richest countries in the world. Number three, we're telling Iran at the same time that they have no right to consider retaliation against Israel, and they should just live with the fact that Israel can shoot missiles into their country and assassinate politicians. Watch.
No one wants to see a wider regional conflict. So, you know, hopefully we don't find ourselves in a situation of having to employ those capabilities. But if we need to, in the defense of Israel, we will.
You know, he makes it sound like Iran is just out of the blue saying, hey, we got nothing to do today, so I think we're going to just bomb Israel, you know? No context. He's not talking about what happened before this. You know, that's disappointing from somebody who represents my country. Pasta, start us off.
Well, I mean, this, I think Caitlin Johnstone made the best analogy when she came to talking about this. This is like the mother that's at the park with her child, and her child's running around hitting everybody. But as soon as somebody hits back, that's when the mother jumps up and goes, oh, my Lord, how could you do this? We need peace. You need to stop that. That's what we're seeing here. But it's the same old playbook, right? I mean, everything when it comes to Israel's mind started on October 7th. Nothing else happened before that. There was no Nakba. There was no bombing. There was no jailing of Palestinians before that. This is the same playbook they're using over and over again, and they're counting on Americans being asleep at the wheel. The only problem is we are asleep at the wheel. We need to wake up to these tactics and really call it out for what it is. It is disheartening when you hear these generals say these things, because at the end of the day, you know, you can only expect Iran to be able to counter back and do so. So it's just mind-boggling to me, because it seems like they're setting the stage to be and to enter into this war. And Israel's doing everything they can in their power, whether it be assassinating a Hamas leader in Tehran, bombing Beirut, killing, bombing a school with 100 children in it the other day, right? We hear the story about the father who ran out to go get the birth certificates for the kids just to come back to see that, you know, his family's been wiped out. They're doing everything within their power to drag us into the war. And all signs, when you hear a press conference like this, all signs are pointing that we're willing to do so.
Yeah, yeah. It does seem curious. Wilmer, to you.
Well, I don't know that we're being dragged into the war because I don't hear Joe Biden. I don't hear the Secretary of State giving any pushback to Israel. And it's also important, it's not only the major transgressions, such as the bombing in Iran and in Lebanon, but it's the microaggressions as well. Itamar Ben-Gvir bringing 100 Israeli Jews to pray at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's all of these very, very seemingly small things that add up to very, very big things. All the United States has to do, if it is serious about not having a wider conflict, is put a stop to Israel. And you mentioned the carrier fleets going in. It costs between $4 and $6 million a day to run the USS Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
That's one aircraft carrier, $4 to $6 million a day of our tax dollars being wasted in this foolishness.
That's crazy. And nobody seems to be saying anything about it in the United States. This is where Donald Trump and J.D. Vance would have an advantage if they just decided to stop talking about, Martin Luther King and stuff. But we're going to get to that story, too. All right. Here's another one. It would be absolutely crazy, right, for the United States to allow Ukraine to use F-16s to bomb Russians. And it would be even more crazy if they allowed allowed Ukraine to bomb inside of Russia, to literally bomb Russia, the nation. Well, it might be crazy to us. Certainly not crazy to Senator Lindsey Graham, who wants to hire retired pilots to do just that.
When I think about Curse, bold, brilliant, beautiful. Keep it up. Putin started this, kick his ass. Bottom line is to the administration, I appreciate your support. Let these people fight. Give them weapons they need to win a war they can't afford to lose. When it comes to F-16s, way too long, they're here, let's use them. Let's train Ukrainian pilots. When I talked to President Zelensky just a few minutes ago, if you're a retired F-16 pilot and you're looking to fight for freedom, they will hire you here. They're gonna look throughout NATO nations for willing fighter pilots who are retired to come help them until they can get their pilots trained.
I don't even know what to say, Pasta. I mean, what do you make of a man? Never been married, by the way. Never really served. I mean, yeah, he was a JAG or something. He was a lawyer. But he's willing to go out there and start World War III. He wants us to invade Russia. He wants us to invade Russia. I'm sorry. This is... Go, Pasta.
Mr. Lindsey Graham, how can we miss you if you don't go away? I wish this guy would just go away. I mean, a couple months ago, he let the cat out of the bag. And this particular story reminds me, or really goes in parallel with what we're doing with this $20 billion in aid to Israel as weapons. This is weapons for the future. They're not going to get these weapons for years to come. This F-16 program, this is about endless continuous war, about endless continuous agitation against a nuclear power like Russia. So when they talk about these things and they say these things, you know, they're never going to end. We're going to have endless wars no matter what. He even said not too long ago that Ukraine has some of the most precious trillions of minerals under their grounds. They can be one of the best partners. We don't want them let them fall into the hands of China and Russia. And that's what this is all about. He's letting the cat out of the bag here. This is about endless war and endless expansion of the empire. And we need to push back against that in itself.
It's sick. It's sick. The things he just said are sick. If somebody in China or Russia or Iran or India or anywhere else in the world said a third of what he just said. Fox News, all the cameras would break in one moment. There'd be an explosion over there, not to mention CNN and MSNBC. And yet it's like, this man says this. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Let's just invade Russia. Let's bomb the hell out of Russia. Let's use our... Wilmer, you.
Lindsey Graham says crazy things because Lindsey Graham is out of his mind. He is more than willing to have Ukraine fight until the last Ukrainian dies.
Yeah.
He's more than happy to do that. He's appealing to retired F-16 pilots. What he didn't say was, if you have a death wish, if you are suicidal, they will hire you here. Because these aren't the top line F-16s. These are antiquated F-16s. All these planes are targets. In fact, I'll be surprised how many of these actually wind up leaving the ground, because it will not surprise me if Russia winds up blowing these things up before they even leave the ground. And then there are just some very practical things about F-16s, the way their engines hang low, the pristine runways that they need.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a number of things that make this whole thing absolutely nonsensical. It's a dog and pony show with no dogs and ponies.
Well, unfortunately, we have given them the F-16s, or not us, but essentially us, because it came from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
They are using them in some capacity. We cannot independently confirm that they're using them in the Kursk region. And if they do, oh my gosh, I mean, how can Russia not retaliate if we're doing something?
They won't last long.
Yeah, this is really crazy. And here's what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break. Why isn't Donald Trump talking about this? Why isn't J.D. Vance talking about this? Why aren't they positioning an alternative to the crazy stuff that the government of Biden and Harris are doing? Instead, he's talking about what? Martin Luther King? Skin color? We'll be right back. Stay right there. All right, let's go now to the, welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. Let's go now to the U.S. presidential race. This is important. I'm going to tell you about what's going on with Donald Trump and then his counterpart, Kamala Harris. The Republican candidate, Donald Trump, appears to have, I don't know how else to say it, he appears to have lost his way. I mean, this guy, this man, this former president has a decent record that he could run on, especially on things like foreign policy, for example, with the exception, of course, of Israel, which would allow him to differentiate himself to many Americans, especially moderates, those people in the middle who are going to determine this race. But he's not doing that. I don't know why he's not doing that, but he's not doing that. Instead, he seems to be mired in what appears to be a bizarre need to validate himself and his crowd sizes and weird. So instead, he's talking about a lot of negative stuff, even comparing himself for some reason to Martin Luther King.
What I can tell you is this. We cannot have a Democrat. We cannot have her. She's incompetent. She's as bad as Biden in a different...
Yeah.
Look, she hasn't done an interview since this whole scam started. And say what you want. This was a coup. This was a coup of a president of the United States. He didn't want to leave, and they said, we can do it the nice way or we can do it the hard way.
I've spoken to the biggest crowds. Nobody's spoken to crowds bigger than me. If you look at Martin Luther King, when he did his speech, his great speech, and you look at ours, same real estate, same everything, same number of people. If not, we had more.
So on the one hand, he gives a speech where he an interview where he defends Biden and says this whole thing is about why it is that Biden had a coup against him. What does that have to do with why people should vote for you, I ask? And then he compares his crowd sizes to Martin Luther King's crowd sizes. I mean, you guys are experts in messaging because it's what you do for a living. So am I. The three of us basically message, right? We know how to put words together to create a message that will at least get people thinking. I don't think he's getting the right people to think the right things about him with his messaging. Am I wrong? Wilmer, we start with you.
First of all, well, no, you're not wrong. He's a megalomaniac. And it's also important to understand that he is still operating in a primary race mentality.
Yeah.
Where in the primaries, you consolidate your base. Then in the general election, you moderate or modulate your message to expand to a broader to the broader electorate.
Good point.
He's still stuck in, because that's all he has. That's all, and I think he also believes that people don't pay attention to foreign policy. So which is an age old political adage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is shifting now with what's happening in Ukraine and what's happening in Gaza.
Yeah.
So he's following that mindset, sticking to the domestic message, a warped domestic racist message, because that's who he sees his base to be.
Yeah, what a shame. I mean, I think you're right in so many ways that he's not stretching his message. And it just hurts me to know what you and I and Pasta just talked about before the break, and that's an important conversation that somebody should have with the American people. J.D. Vance could probably do it, but he's not at the top of the ticket. Donald Trump should do it, but he's not, because he just doesn't, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't know how to articulate it. I don't know. Let me throw this at you, Pasta, as we continue this political conversation. Let me tell you what the other side's doing. Kamala Harris, for her part, just continues to appear, if nothing else, extremely coachable. She's sticking to her script that's not written by her, but by others and by AI, who knows. She's not talking to reporters. She's also generally not talking about her policies or not issuing new policies. She's also running away from some of her policies, the liberal ones. Like, for example, she used to be completely for Medicare for all, not anymore.
Harris campaign official tells Fox that if the vice president is elected president, she will not push single payer or Medicare for all. Harris isn't making that case herself publicly yet, though it represents quite an evolution on health care. In 2017, Harris was the first Senate Democrat to co-sponsor Bernie Sanders' Medicare for all bill.
But here's the most important fact of all this. Before she got into the race, Donald Trump was killing it. He was going to be the next president of the United States, winning everywhere by a lot. That's not true anymore. As a matter of fact, you can make the case, if you look at enough polls, that he's losing right now. At best tied. Pasta to you.
Yeah, I don't even think you have to look at polls. You can just get a sense of what's going on. A couple months ago, it was a foregone conclusion that this was his presidency to lose, and he's finding a way to lose it. But I think he's finding a way to lose it is because he's being exposed, right? You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have any new original ideas. That Elon Musk interview was so vanilla and so boring and just so telling that there's no new ideas coming from the Donald Trump camp. I mean, he is going after the lowest hanging fruit out there. I think Dr. Wilmer put it beautifully when he said he's still in primary mode. That's when you get your base, you consolidate, but then you open on up. He's yet to open on up because his ideas are still in the past. I mean, what is he going to do economically?
But why wouldn't they do, I don't mean to interrupt, because we're running out of time. Why wouldn't the people handling him not do what the people handling Kamala are doing, or Vice President Harris, pardon me, and just say, here's a script, read it. We've AI checked this. These are the points you need to hit to get the folks in Miami, the folks in Florida, the black people, the white people, the this people, the that people, whatever. Read the script and don't go outside of it. But it's, why can't they do that with him?
That is the quagmire, because it used to be said that the best thing that Donald Trump will do, being the great negotiator and the businessman he is, he'll put the right people in the right places, meaning the people around him.
Yeah.
He'll surround himself with the right people. Unfortunately, he's doing what a lot of teams do in the NFL when they lose. They play their prevent defense, and then they get scored upon. And that's exactly what's happening here.
What?
He's keeping his message small, refined, and like we said, the lowest hanging fruit out there. He's not opening up to anybody out there right now, and it's just really a shame. He has no economic plan. His foreign policy plan is to be more of a bully than Biden and Kamala Harris is, to keep the other leaders in line. He's just being exposed for who he is. He's not the guy who campaigned in 2016 when we thought there was a chance he was going to get us out of NATO.
There is
now
a difference.
Now he reassures us that he's going to stay in NATO.
It is weird, Wilmer, because this is not the same guy who had that fresh appeal. I know he was crazy then and he's crazy still, but he had something then that he's not showing now. 45 seconds. What the hell is it? What happened?
He doesn't listen to his advisors because he's Donald Trump. It's when you get people with that mindset, that think they know everything because they've been somewhat successful. It's very hard to get them to listen to other people that they don't deem to be as smart as them. And going back to Kamala really quickly on the Medicare for All, there was another Democratic candidate that campaigned on the same theme. His name was Barack Obama. Huh. And as soon as he got into the White House, he abandoned Medicare for All single payer because the insurance companies got a hold of his behind and said, we will sink you like the Lusitania, if you do this too.
Yeah,
they've gotten a hold of her just before she got into
the White House. And that goes to that she's fake, that what they're mm-hmm. putting out is not really her. It's a good argument, but they need to affect it with proper messaging, and they just haven't been able to do that yet, which is what this conversation is about. Guys, this is a good conversation. You know, it's passionate, it's real, and you guys are both really smart. Thanks for sharing some of that with me. I really appreciate it. God bless. Thanks. We'll see you next time. That's our show. Remember to always look outside your own box. Truths don't live in boxes, as we like to say. Look for us here. And by the way, every day, more and more of you all over the world are watching our show, and that's really nice. It makes me feel good. It makes us all feel good. Thank you. We'll see you next time.